This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, Football Fridays with Joey Harrington. Oregon headed to the Big House. We will discuss that.
Isn't it seem so weird that Oregon is playing Michigan as the number one team in the country and it doesn't feel like a big game?
Yeah.
It's bizarre.
It really doesn't.
What world are we living in? Dogs and cats living together, mass hysteria.
Here is Joey. How's your week?
My week. What a good week. You know, not gonna lie.
You had to think about that one, did you?
You know, you kind of got to, like, do the inventory. Like, had some good schoolwork from Emmett. Jack's Central Catholic soccer team, you know, locked up the first league title in 7 years.
Boom.
Starting playoffs on Saturday, you know, like, yeah.
Do you do the Deion Sanders where you rank your kids? Because I think it would be amazing if there was, like, a Joey Harrington chart and you constantly were deciding what kid was the favorite. Like, you put it on the board, get a little competition going.
You know, I'm not going to comment on other people's parenting styles because God knows I'm not perfect, but good Lord. Oh, my God.
When I heard that, too, I was like, are you kidding me? First off, my eldest daughter would stab me in the throat with a fork. Like, and so I told her, immediately you would be third, but it's like, you rank your kids. And then I thought to myself, maybe I should rank them if there's ones threatening to stab me. Yeah.
Well, does it provide incentive? You know, you have to kind of know where your kids fall on that. You know, I don't know that would be beneficial to my kids. I think it may actually be, you know, surprisingly detrimental to their mental health and stability within the household. Yeah,
it's possible. I was just throwing it out there. I mean, I you were singing the praises of both, and I was like, well, which one had the better week? That's all I'm saying.
You know, I think how do I say this? You have plenty of experience to know that as soon as one is on top of the world, you know, then the other one is struggling. And as soon as that one comes out of, you know, their struggles, then the other one, you know, trips and falls. Like, it's the most uncanny. Like, it rarely seems like either child is on top of the world at the same time. But conversely, it also seems like very rarely are they both in the doldrums.
That is true.
I just use doldrums. Where'd that word come from?
Solid word. But you're right. It's the yin and yang thing. Seinfeld did a whole thing on that. Like, one's up, one's down, always even Steven.
Yeah. Well, I think I might kind of, you know, subscribe to that.
I've been around your kids only a few times, but I already know there's a healthy rivalry. I don't think they need to be ranked. I can see it in Emmett's eyes. He's got that younger brother syndrome.
Got that inner fire.
Yeah.
You can always tell. I got a buddy down in Bend, and his youngest, like, one day he will kill the other two to ascend to the throne. The youngest one has a little bit of a hunger that the oldest ones can't quite match.
Yeah. I think that just has to do with, like, the natural selection thing, right? If you're the smallest, if you're the youngest, you got to fight for what you get.
That's right.
Yeah.
Got to be a little scrappier.
Yeah, that's that leftover monkey in us, man. You got to fight for your place in the tribe.
That's right.
There you go.
Yeah. All right. Well, I wanted to, before we get to Oregon, Michigan, I wanted to ask you about something because, you know, conveniently, we have a quarterback on the line here.
Yeah.
Somebody who played the position at a very high level. Suk was saying that he had never seen this ever. Have you ever seen a quarterback tap out of a game like Anthony Richardson did last weekend?
Oh, my God. Now, look. I was never one to run a whole lot, right? Because mostly because I wasn't athletic enough to do so, and also because even in the situations where it was available to me, I wasn't athletic enough to do so. But there are very few positions on the field that exert less, and I don't want to say like physical energy, right? Running backs, they run. Wide receivers, they run. Tight ends, they block and run. Offensive linemen, like the amount of energy it takes to like explode and block and like hand-to-hand combat with somebody. You're a quarterback, right? Yeah. I heard him say that. I was like, what the hell are you doing? Yeah. Like, I have never in my life seen somebody tap out. Yeah. And say, I need a breather. You know, maybe you should run more laps before practice. if one play is going to cause you that much physical pain or whatever, you know, the exhaustion that you can't execute the next play after a 34-second break, then there's other issues going on there.
Yeah. And I wondered if that had something to do with the benching, because when you look at the play, he's struggling, and clearly he's in over his head. But the play wasn't horrific in that game compared to the rest of the season. And I wondered if maybe the locker room, if that was kind of the deciding factor, because I mean, we've all seen it. I remember a play where I watched my left guard separate his shoulder, and it was hanging down and didn't come out of the game. Like, I'm like, dude, get out of the game. You can't lift your arm. And he's like, I got this. And then like three plays later, someone had to come get him. You see stuff like that. And when you see someone tap out because you're winded, boy, I wonder if that sat a certain way in the locker room. And that was the deciding, we can't keep doing this. Cause you can say all you want as a franchise that you're there to develop your quarterback and you know, you got to give him time. But the rest of those guys on that field, boy, they don't really care about 2 years from now. They care about right now, especially when you're in games.
Well, and look, that to me speaks to an entire level of not understanding the situation that you're in. And I saw Dan Orlovsky said something about it this week, and I thought it was spot on. Like, they don't want him to play quarterback, or he doesn't need to understand how to play quarterback. He needs to understand how to be the quarterback.
Yeah.
Right? There is a difference between having the physical tools, the ability to throw a comeback, the ability to read a defense, the physical ability to do it. And then there's a whole nother thing that is understanding how to be that presence, how to be the rock, how to be the leader in the huddle when things are tough, that 10 other guys look at you and say, tell me what to do, because I'm giving myself to this. And I'll tell you what, like, to your point, when you're the guard next to you, you watch him put his physical well-being behind the success of the team, you he earns your respect. You learn that, hey, that's a guy I can go to battle with. That's a guy who I know if I give everything I have, he's going to give everything he has. Conversely, if somebody says, coach, I'm tired, take me out, that's not being the quarterback. That's not having the maturity to understand the position that you're in. And that, you know, we've talked about it, like, you have one of 32 jobs in the entire world. Name me another profession where there are fewer opportunities to do what millions of people want to do.
Not many.
and you're tired. Sorry, coach. Like that I 100% agree. Like, and it may or may not be, you know, maybe that was the straw that broke the camel's back. Maybe that was the one, maybe that was, you know, a big enough incident in the locker room that they had to do something about it. Whatever it is, it's a symptom of what appears to be a bigger problem, in that he doesn't understand the gravity of the situation which he's in.
This is Joey Harrington with us here on The Fan. How fragile are those locker rooms in a team's culture?
Ooh. Ask a more specific question so that I can have more time to think about an appropriate response.
Well, I mean, you know, these coaches, they all kind of preach the same thing, and the good ones create a good culture of unity, mm-hmm. And brotherhood, whatever you want to call it, all the cheesy terms. But especially in the NFL, I think college, it may be easier to keep together. I think players may fall in line a little more and buy in. But in the pros,
grown men with families and
yeah, and these dudes, some of them are in it just for the money. Some of them are in, you know, there's mm-hmm. just a lot of different factors. I just wonder how fragile it is. Like when you see a good culture in the NFL, like say Baltimore or whatever, is that always kind of teetering, or is it stable depending on the coach?
It depends on who wins on Sunday. Yeah.
So it's a week to week thing.
And no, it's not a week-to-week thing. Like, there are – Tom Brady builds more leeway, more of a runway to lose a couple games than Anthony Richardson does, yeah. Right? You know, success breeds I'll say forgiveness, but, like, you've got a little bit more wiggle room.
Yeah, it solves problems. Winning cures.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that even the best locker rooms can, you know, you start losing a couple games in a row and start staring down, you know, the possibility of picking your family up, about not having a job next year, about your locker room looking different, or like, you know, we're cutting, what are we, two and, I'm trying to think of the Jets record. They were 2-6, correct? Yeah, another 3-6?
Yeah, correct.
9 games. You start hitting like that week 10, week 12 point, and if you're in that position, you're looking around that locker room thinking, I wonder what they're paying. You know, that guy's making half the money that I am, and he can do the job. Like, I wonder if my job is, you know, are they going to keep me around? Like, and you start, there's this level of self-preservation that supersedes any bit of camaraderie at that point.
Okay, so it's, I think the answer is it's pretty fragile.
Sure, yeah. That self-preservation thing is...
Did I say bull in a china shop? I meant...
Well, that self-preservation, you know, thing is real, because like, you even see that with GMs and coaches, and, you know, sometimes a GM or a coach will make a decision, and you're like, what the hell is that? That's not helping you this year that much, and what the answer is, I'm trying not to get my ass fired. I don't care if it's good in the long run. I got to make it to the end of the year or try to keep my job, and that... You know, I think so much is driven in the NFL by that, and not enough people talk about it.
Yeah, it is an interesting, having friends that, you know, played with and played against who are now coaching. I mean, that is a theme I hear all the time. Hey, how'd it go? Just trying to keep my job. how'd this week go? Well, we won, so my job is safe. You know, hey, how are things going with so-and-so? Well, I'm not really sure. I'd rather play this guy, but I got to play this guy because, you know, it's probably going to save my job. Like, it is truly a CYA industry. Like, you know, I feel like we've talked about this before. Like, the moment you're out of the NFL, you're out of the NFL. And not just like, you're not playing football anymore, but like that name me somebody besides Tom Brady who can step out of a job where you're making 7 figures and step into another job where you're making $1 million a year. Like you don't do that. Right. So to hold on to that opportunity, you will beg, borrow and steal to keep it around for one more year.
All right, let's get to the Michigan game. We will ask Joey where his patented Joey Harrington worry meter is at for this game tomorrow. Coming up next, courtesy of Mods PDX.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
On the Fan. All right, we're back with Joey Harrington. Time to take a look at Michigan on the Fan tomorrow, 12:30. 14.5-point spread. I don't know.
Yeah, it's weird.
It's an odd one. Where is the patented Joey Harrington worry meter this week?
Six.
Okay.
It's a little higher. A little higher.
It's higher than Illinois.
It's a touch higher than 50-50. You know, it's not like it's just meh. Yeah. You know, we're still going to the Big House. We're still going to Michigan the first week of November. We're still, you know, playing in front of 100,000 people. Like, there's, I don't think they're, okay, I'm trying to think of how to do this comparison. You know, we talked about Illinois a couple weeks ago. I think Illinois is probably a less talented football team that is playing better football as a team that we played at home. Michigan is probably a more talented football team that is dealing with more crap that we're playing on the road.
Yeah.
You know, which would you rather be? I mean, I don't know. I've said it all year. Like, not that I'm overlooking this Michigan game, but this Oregon team is so incredibly talented that if they play the way they're capable of, this shouldn't be a game. Like, it should be a, you know, 31-13 kind of game. The one that I'm looking at is Wisconsin in a couple weeks. Like, that is, again, we're almost getting to the point where we start having the conversation about what happens to kids' emotions at the end of November. Like, but we're not to the end of November yet. It's still, you know, we're still just getting out of October. So there's still a little bit of, I don't want to say playfulness, but there's still a little bit of fun still left in the season. Right? It's not stress, and it's not pulling your hair out, and it's not, oh my God, if we lose, the world is going to end. Like, it's going to be in a couple weeks. So, I mean, I think all of those things put together is going to lead to a situation where we probably beat them by, you know, three touchdowns.
Do you think it's easier in, you know, Oregon is an elite team this year, but do you think it's easier to go unscathed against these teams like the Michigans and Illinois that are built in the Iowas? You know, the Big Ten has a lot of these teams that are like this. They really aren't much offensively, but they're tough. They run the ball. They play defense. Do you think that's easier to go unscathed in that league than, say, in the Pac-12, where you've got all these different archetypes, like more high-powered offenses?
Potentially. I mean, but we're also making the assumption that Oregon's high-powered offense is inherently better than all of those great defenses, right? You know, I think that this year is the ultimate test of the Pac-12 versus the Big Ten, right? Who, you know, it answers that question. Like, would I rather play Washington State or Michigan right now? I think I'd rather play Michigan than Washington State.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, to be honest, you know, you start throwing, you know, I'm just talking about right now, God, you start throwing those teams, like, you know, the Mike Leach teams that you know, I don't know that I want to be playing those teams in mid-November. It's there doesn't seem to be as much of a threat from them as much as it is like we as a team just have to hold up our end, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I can see where you're. I can see where you're going with that. Again, it's
like Washington State could, if they came out with those Mike Leach teams in November and they got on a roll, they would beat you, yeah. Right? Those teams like you could play phenomenal, you could play fantastic, you could play an 8 out of 10 football game, right, and lose to one of those Mike Leach teams because they put up 56 one night. I don't think that's happening against a Michigan in Illinois. Yeah. Definitely not in Iowa. Right, so if you can take care of things on your end and put up three, four touchdowns, I think you're going to be winning a lot of games in the Big Ten in November.
Yeah, that makes sense. So it's more along the lines of just don't beat yourself. Bring your A game, or you didn't bring your A game. Just show up. Don't make mistakes, and you should be fine. I totally get what you're
saying. I was trying to think of how to say it without like using all the cliches. Yeah. Into it. Bring your A game, and you have to handle your business, and you have to like you can just list go down the list. That's it.
I always say teams that play this style, even the Michigan last year that was a national championship team, they needed to play one style. Right? Like you have to play with the lead, run the ball, good defense. It's like that's the MO. Stanford was like this back in the old Pac-12 days. Stanford could only really win one way. And it does lead you to be more upset prone, because if you have a day where that one, your one game plan, your fastball isn't working, it's a bit of a problem. But I feel like Oregon maybe has 3 or 4 pitches, and some of the teams in the Big Ten, even good ones, may have 1 or 2.
Yeah, I don't necessarily disagree with that, which is why the Wisconsin game scares me. You know, you start playing against those teams in situations. I don't know what the weather's going to be like in Madison at the end of November. You know, is that going to be enough of a curveball to throw us off of, throughout the cliche, handling our business, playing our A game? You know, like, is that going to be enough to rattle? But I don't think there are going to be enough things in play this week to rattle the Oregon team.
You know, tonight, gentlemen, it's the end of an era.
It is the end of an era. I had to think about what you were talking about.
You sure did, didn't you?
Yes, I did. I was like, wait, it's the end of an era.
What's... Christine Sinclair.
Yes.
Wraps it up tonight for the Thornsies.
Yep.
Are you going to be there?
Yep. I will be there. I will be there with the proverbial bells on.
I will be there, but I will not have bells on. Our seats are not covered, so I will be there in a rain jacket and a beanie and gloves.
Well, okay. Your seats are not covered, meaning you're sitting down in the lounge with the with your popcorn again?
Yes. Yes. Our,
yeah. So let's rephrase that. I have field-level seats at which I eat popcorn and enjoy the finer things in life. And you know what? I'm not I don't care if you get rained on. Sorry.
God.
That hurts my feelings.
What do you think the worst thing about Joey's life is?
It's a good question. Because he sent that photo the other day. Oh, the hair was on point. Boogers was hanging out.
It's a good life.
Yeah, it's... I don't know. Do you have like bad toenails? Do you have like a do you have like a fungus or something? I don't know. You got like an ingrown toe? A sore tooth?
You guys are jerks.
So you do have bad toenails. Is that what we're hearing? A little sensitive.
No, it's just like, why do you got to make fun of me? I come on here and I try and be nice and hang out and, you know, build a friendship and invite people to the green couch, and all you do is just flip it around.
Well, this isn't making fun of. We're merely asking a question.
It's because we're jealous.
Yeah, it's what it boils down to. There's a lot of envy here, you know.
Yeah, well, I'm going to be at the soccer game. You know, that's the whole point of this thing was how great Christine Sinclair. You know what? Hey, how about this? For as wonderful, and I will say it, I'll be the first to say it, I got a pretty charmed life, and I'm pretty lucky. Christine Sinclair, you want to talk about somebody who is the absolute goat of goats? Mm-hmm. There you go, and we got a chance to witness everything about her for 13 years. I mean, no, 11 years. 2013 was their first championship, I believe. How lucky are we?
She, wasn't she? Didn't she?
Well, yeah.
Yeah, she was at UP.
Oh, for sure. That's where I first watched her. I I've told you the story about watching her running up the set. I was like, that woman is a badass, and I am a fan of women's soccer now. Like, and she was the start for me. She was the beginning of my appreciation of soccer, which has now turned into a family thing for us. So to go tonight and watch the end of an era and honor that woman, I mean, hey, she needs to be revered in Portland sports history the way that some others have been as well. She's a rock.
Yeah, I was going to ask that. I was sitting there racking my brain, like, I wonder where she would go on in the list. You know, like, who is the Portland sports icon? Like, when you think of
good question,
one or two,
I mean, Bill certainly comes.
Well,
to mind.
I mean, who say it again?
Bill certainly comes Bill to Walton. Mind, even though he was here for a short time.
Yeah. I mean, I think you have to put. I was having this conversation with my boys yesterday, talking about Dame's place in Blazers history. I was like, well, you got to put him. That's what it was, because Emmett saw a spray paint a mural that had a bulldog in a number 22 Blazers jersey. He said, Dad, who's 22 for the Blazers? I said, that was Clyde Drexler. He's like, oh, was he good? I was like, was he good? And I came to the conclusion myself that you had to put Bill Walton on top, and then Clyde came after that, and then Dame would be behind Drexler. But, I mean, it's not like there's a whole lot of other, you know, you put in Portland Buckaroos, or you put in Portland Beavers, or you put, you know. I mean, Christine Sinclair has to be. I mean, are you including people like Clive Charles? Yeah. Where is this list coming from? This needs to be an entire segment, like going down the Portland list of sports
because, like,
icons.
You think about like pre, but for a lot of people, you know, if you're not
that's
a
not
duck.
Portland.
That's not Portland.
No, that's not Portland.
That's Oregon. It's the same thing, Beaver Duck. So it's like a lot of the big duck figures aren't going to have the Portland, you know, aren't going to have that Portland spot. And like you said, we just don't have a lot of, we haven't had a lot of pro teams here. So I do think Christina.
Pokey Allen?
Yeah, Pokey.
Ooh, that's good.
But I think old Ms. Sinclair, you can make a strong case that she belongs near the top of that list.
I wouldn't disagree in terms of accomplishment. She is quite literally, nobody in the history of the world has scored more goals in international competition than Christine Sinclair.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know, if that doesn't put you near the top, like, I don't know what does. I mean, that's Olympic gold medal, two NWSL championships. I mean, a collegiate national championship with the University of Portland. She has literally done everything she possibly could to put Portland soccer, amateur and professional, on the map. And she's done it literally without taking any credit or any sort of, you know, relishing the moment. Like, she's always one to just deflect to somebody else, which I think probably, you know, detracts, but, you know, doesn't necessarily put her front of mind for a lot of people.
And think about, too, you mentioned it. She led to your fandom of soccer, which led to your kids' fandom of soccer. And think about how many times she's done that for little girls and families and men. And with all due respect to Bill and Clyde and all that, and, you know, the NBA didn't need that. Like, the NBA was going to be popular here no matter what. Blazer fans were going to be here no matter what. So not only do you have all her accomplishments that, when you put them on paper, are probably the greatest accomplishments of any athlete in the Portland landscape, but you think about in women's soccer, there's a lot of places where you play to 3,000 people, and that's not the Thorns. The Thorns pack that place, and what she did to not just put herself, but what she did to grow a sport and grow the women's side of it, I think you have to throw that in the equation too when you're talking about impact.
I would 100%. I mean, besides, I mean, you had Tiffany Milbritt and Shannon McMillan on, you know, the 99 Women's World Cup team, which, you know, was just incredibly exponentially, you know, grew the women's game exponentially just because of the whole World Cup. I don't know that, but they were part of a group, right? I don't know that there's one person. You wouldn't look and say, well, Tiffany Milbritt or Shannon McMillan on their own grew the sport in Portland, nowhere near the way that Christine Sinclair did.
I've got three other names, and then we got to run. But we got to throw out Phil.
Yeah?
I mean, Phil Knight's probably the crown jewel.
You forget about that.
He's from Portland.
Yep.
You have...
Well, but, okay, yes, but, his impact is Eugene, right?
Yeah, his impact is
global.
Is global, and it's Nike, and Nike is Portland, and then...
I don't know, I think he's on there.
I'm with you.
Here's a guy. Okay. You're going to hate this one because it's the Beavs, but Terry Baker, he's a Portlander, won the Heisman. Yeah. I forget what high school he went to, but him, and then Dale Murphy.
Oh, yeah.
What do you think about Dale Murphy?
About Dale.
He's a Portland guy.
Dale Murphy.
I just don't know if any of those guys, when you think in modern times, if you ask the Portland sport fan, I'm just not certain that those guys jump to anyone's forefront. And they should. I mean, Dale Murphy is great and should be in the Hall of Fame. I wonder how many people of Portland claim him.
Well, and then Joey Herring.
Well, I mean, you go down the list. You go down the list of the George Shaws and the Mel Renfros.
Renfro,
and Brandons,
you
and, yeah. you know, and Damon Stoudemire. Yeah. That's my point. Like, we can take an entire show just on putting this list together. But again, like, put all those accomplishments together, and they don't hold a candle to what Christine did.
Yeah. It's going to be a cool night.
All right, you guys, enjoy it. I'll let you get back to your charmed life. And we'll talk to you next week.
Yeah, hold on. I'm going to go put my toenail.
All right, see you, Joey. That is our friend Joey Herrington, courtesy of Mods PDX. The future of building is here. Let's get to the club next on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.